Hey there, I'm Wendy Vaughn, sales success coach. Now, they call me the queen of predictable sales results. Well, because the easy formulas I share create sustainable, predictable results for my clients. And I am so glad that you've tuned in to today's episode of the Selling Made Easy show, because this show is all about inspiration, not just in demystifying the client getting process known as sales, but also in peering through the lens of guest entrepreneurs who are blazing their own trails. And those trails have probably included a few unexpected roadblocks, maybe even having to overcome fears or blocks about selling. Now, I believe everyone has their zone of genius, their superpower that's a gift to others, including you. Now, for me, after 22 years of outperforming my peers in sales results, well, it's almost an X-ray vision that I have when it comes to finding and fixing any sales blind spots within entrepreneurs that are unknowingly causing clients to slip away. And with today's guest, his zone of genius is his ability to help other people organize their customer relationships. So I am super excited to introduce Jeroen Korthout. Now, Jeroen is co-founder and CEO of SalesFlare, an intelligent CRM built for SMBs selling B2B, mostly popular with agencies and SaaS companies. Now, SalesFlare itself was founded when Jeroen and his co-founder, Levin, wanted to manage the leads for their software company in an easier way. They didn't like to keep track of them manually and built SalesFlare, which pulls customer data together automatically. Now, SalesFlare is now the most popular CRM on Product Hunt and top-rated on review platforms like G2 for its ease of use and automation features. Well, welcome, Jeroen. I am so excited to have you as my guest today.
Yeah, glad to be here. How are you doing?
Good. I'm doing great, thank you. And I just love how you're helping business owners and salespeople do a better job of keeping track of all their clients and potential clients. I can't wait to hear more about this and the work you're now doing.
Yeah, it sounds like we're sort of in the same business. Maybe we should do something together after the show.
Yeah, sounds like an opportunity. Well, Jeroen, when I introduced you, I gave a little bit of insight into what prompted you to start SalesFlare, but can you share a few more details about exactly what was the inspiration or tipping point that prompted you to start this business?
To make a long story short, because it sort of is a longer story, but previous to Salesflare, I was working in a marketing consultancy, and they used Salesforce internally. And for me, it was my very first real CRM. So I took Salesforce very seriously. For those who don't know Salesforce, it's the biggest company out there when it comes to CRM. And people told me that Salesforce would help me organize my sales, and that's what their website told me as well. So I really tried to organize myself through Salesforce, like organize my sales follow-up, put in all the data, put my tasks in there and all. But I didn't really manage to make it work for me. And I noticed that it didn't really work for any of my sales colleagues either. The person for whom it worked the best and the person who loved it in the company was the CEO, because he was having all these nice reports on our pipelines. But for us salespeople, we didn't get much further actually than entering our sales opportunities in there for that reporting. It wasn't really a tool that helped us sell. And at some point, even one of my colleagues convinced me that I shouldn't put in opportunities too early because people were going to start to expect things. So it became a very sort of light,
Right.
not much in there, let's say it like that.
Yeah. Lots of activity and analytics, but not so much doing what you needed it to do to create that build that relationship with your potential clients.
Yeah, I was actually mostly organizing myself in my mailbox, and I would have tasks in Outlook, and at some point I would have them in this task tool that was called Wunderlist, but definitely not in Salesforce. That just didn't work. It was very cumbersome. The notifications only came within Salesforce. It was very weird and slow, and I don't know. But I didn't do anything with that insight for a few years until I was working with Levin, my co-founder, on another software company. And we went to a big conference and we had a ton of good leads to follow up. And we looked for a system because we wanted to close a maximum of these leads and close the deals.
Right.
And I knew that Salesforce wasn't really going to help us with that, like with organizing ourselves. So we had a good look around. We tested different CRMs. And although we found a lot of CRMs that were way better at helping us organize ourselves when it comes to sales, we still failed. And we noticed that it wasn't per se the CRM systems that they didn't work or something, or that they were slow, or that they weren't built for sales follow-up. It was just that they came with this sort of expectation that we would fill them out consistently with a huge amount of discipline. Every single detail, every single moment that, you know, something happens, you put in the CRM. Every time you meet someone, you have this instant reflex of putting them in the CRM. Every time somebody shares a number, you put in the CRM, like a phone number. That didn't really seem to work for us.
Right, right. Yeah, no, understandable. Well, how long have you had Sales Flair, and has the business evolved during that time?
Yeah, we are working on Sales Flair now for 6.5 years.
Okay.
It has definitely evolved. In early days, we thought it was going to be a sales platform for bigger companies that would synchronize with a CRM like Salesforce. But over time, we noticed that people didn't want another platform for sales. They wanted to fix Salesforce instead. And also they didn't have a lot of confidence in the fact that it would synchronize well. So we actually pivoted at some point. We changed our focus because we noticed that people in the startup community around us were way more interested in what we built than the bigger companies. And we started offering a CRM for small and medium-sized businesses.
Nice. Nice. Yeah, that's it can be really overwhelming for somebody starting out their own business to manage all the different components. So creating a platform that is efficient and really allows you to easily keep track of the sales pipeline and just customer and client relations is so important. Well, as you are building this business and, even before when you were experiencing other platforms and kind of coming up with this idea of building your own, have there been any big roadblocks or challenges that you've had to overcome along the way? And can you share a little bit about maybe what you've done to overcome those?
Yeah, definitely. Building a business comes with the one roadblock after the other. Yeah. In the beginning, it was for us figuring out whether there even was a demand. We would sit together in sort of sales meetings with people, and they would bring up all these kind of things like, is it going to do this? Is it going to do that? Mm-hmm. How is that going to work? It was a very confusing time. We got out of that by taking that up a bit more systematically. Instead of trying to sell immediately what we were thinking of, we took it the other direction and we started doing customer interviews. So more trying to understand who we had in front of us rather than trying to sell what it is we had in mind. Mm-hmm. And then from there, trying to build the product. Then we shifted into actually building it. And the big challenge was, how are we going to build something that people actually want to use that really fixes that problem that we have in mind in the most efficient way? Between starting to build and having our first customer, that took a year, which wasn't really helped by the fact that we were building a CRM. And an automated CRM, so there was a lot of stuff to build. It's not a software tool that you just build in a few days. And then from there, It became about attracting more people, which was hard, especially with a product that doesn't offer as much as other CRMs yet. In the beginning, you really need to hammer on that problem and really find people that have a burning issue rather than going a bit broader.
Right.
Because otherwise, it's very hard to convince people to use something that a three-person team somewhere at the other end of the world very often is building. Yeah. And currently, what our main issue is really keeping the scaling up, like attracting more customers, because what we're faced with is huge CRM companies with a lot of resources and big brands and, you know, all that, sure, that take away a lot of the visibility and the traffic. And dealing with that is currently our biggest issue.
Right. Yes. It's always difficult when you're just gaining that market presence and going up against the momentum of bigger established brands, but it sounds like you've really zeroed in on some key differences that truly make a difference for the individuals. So, I'm curious here. Obviously, you're an expert at really dialing in what people need in order to manage and stay connected with their clients and prospects. But I'm curious here, Jeroen, how do you feel about the sales part of being in business? Now, this is a very different skill set. And I think you kind of alluded to this a little bit in terms of the marketing aspects and going up against some of the more well-established brands. But here, when we're talking specifically about sales, which this is something that I think you're pretty near and dear to, can you share a little bit about, you know, any of the challenges or frustrations that you've had to deal with in terms of selling this CRM?
Yeah, actually, I'm not a salesperson. I mean, when I was a kid, if you would have told me I would do something in sales and I would sell a tool for salespeople, I would have considered you crazy.
Okay.
I was the smart kid in class. I was born to become an engineer, and I studied engineering and more introvert, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
And somehow, because I really like to build stuff and build it for people and be in touch with people and offer them value and all that, it just required for me to switch to marketing and sales positions. And it's what I like the most, actually. I learned everything about marketing and sales just by doing it and by really just trying to apply as much empathy as possible and always putting myself in the shoes of others. And that's something that I'm getting pretty good at. And I think also as a startup founder, it is absolutely necessary that at least in the early stages, you take up the sales at your company. Because I know of a lot of founders that I speak to. Sometimes I'm like a sales coach at conferences. And then mostly technical co-founders, they come to me and they say, well, I have this thing here. I want to get this sold. You know, how do I get a salesperson? And then when I ask, like, how many times have you sold it? They're like, I haven't sold it yet. And then I usually give them the advice to first sell it themselves, because after all, they are the ones that know the issue they're solving. They are the ones that know the customers best. They are the ones that know the product best. And they have all the passion as well.
Right.
So if they cannot sell it, then how is a salesperson going to sell it? Especially if they cannot teach the salesperson how they've sold it in the past. Because at some point, for sure, you can have a professional salesperson with all the skills and whatnot take over the sales at your company. But very initially, you need to do it yourself. And it maybe takes a little bit of confidence there to take that leap. But just think about it that way. It's not, sales is not something scary. It's just talking to people. It's figuring out what they want. And then it's offering what it is that they want. And it's not much more complex than that.
Yeah. And it's also, though, I think that one of the biggest things that creates that stress for people is then the objections. I love the part where you talked about your empathic, or, you know, you lead with empathy and you put yourself in other shoes. And that really is a great mindset to have, and kind of an awareness really to enter into the sales conversations with, and helps a person just, for one, be it more at ease with their prospective client. Secondly, the prospective client is feels like they're being heard. Really important. But when it comes to, okay, well, I don't see why I would need this, or I don't think that this is something we wanted to, you know, we're happy with this other platform, and why would we? So these objections are the things that create that stress typically for people when they step into the, you know, that role. And, you know, the one thing that you mentioned, that it's so important to have that firsthand experience selling your product or service yourself before scaling up and having a salesperson. But either way, one of the techniques, if you don't mind, that you know, I'd love to share when it comes to that anxiety or that stress over selling, is to take inventory of the typical objections that are coming up after having three or four or five, or who knows, a half dozen conversations. Start hearing a pattern in terms of what people's resistance points or objections are. And so starting to include those objections earlier in the conversation, before they're even brought up by the prospective client, is a way to gain that confidence during the enrollment or the sales conversation, so that you don't feel like, and then you've got to be confrontational. And I love the fact that, you know, you're kind of on that spectrum of maybe being an introvert. So I think you can relate to this. The old school techniques of, oh, you know, you've got to be aggressive, or, you know, firm, or, you know, confrontational, and overcome those objections. Well, not all of us are built that way, you know, and that can create a lot of stress. So just having some of those top of mind objections built into reasons why a person would want to actually move forward with your CRM, versus at the end saying, well, this is why I wouldn't want to make this commitment or this purchase. So that's something that, I don't know if you've experienced that yourself in learning how to present your CRM to potential business owners or corporations.
Definitely. After a while, the objections, you just see them coming from quite far, and you handled them so many times that it sort of starts coming naturally. I think in the beginning it's a bit frightening, but you'll learn. Well, last week I had a funny experience where basically I was doing a quote-unquote training for a team of 23 people, and I knew there were going to be two people on that call. It was a Zoom meeting that were going to be against getting a CRM because they didn't have one and they didn't want one. So to capture the objections very early on and then be able to immediately handle them, what I did was I asked, before I start, guys, share with me what it is you hate about CRMs.
Yes.
And these two guys immediately came out and they started sharing everything. And then I was like, okay. I've noted down what you hate about them, and I'll show you now how Salesforce solves that. And, you know, right. After that, they had to start looking for other objections, which is what they did. But
you completely stole their thunder.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, I love that. Well, Jeroen, you know, we're still in the middle of this pandemic, which I was hoping was going to be well behind us at this point. And you're in Belgium, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's a worldwide pandemic, unfortunately. No, it's not excluded any of us. Has it had any impact on this need for this CRM, on the work that you do and the technology that you've brought forward? Can you talk a little bit about maybe the increased need for customer relation management?
Yes and no. We've grown more this year than last year, which is nice, obviously, in the middle of a pandemic. I think two sort of effects on things. At the one end, there were customers who weren't doing super great and that had to stop using the CRM just because they weren't selling anymore,
right,
or they were closing down the business. That unfortunately happens. Mm-hmm. We do offer a CRM to businesses who sell B2B, so to other businesses. So most of them were sort of impacted indirectly, but still, we lost some more subscribers because we offered it on a subscription than normally. On the other end, also, we had a lot of companies signing up that started understanding the need for a CRM because they were organizing themselves either in a spreadsheet or not at all and had no idea where things were. And all of a sudden, when you have this extra pressure on your sales pipeline, you start understanding that maybe it is a good idea to get a CRM. So we had both effects working on us. Overall, net positive effect, but not huge.
Right. Okay. Yeah, makes sense. There has been quite a shift in terms of the impact on certain verticals and certain businesses. So it's been a time of adapting, definitely. Well, if you could just give a little bit more insight here, Jeroen, how do you work with entrepreneurs and salespeople? What, you know, can you talk a little bit more about your CRM and its ability to manage the database of clients and prospects and how this is just done much more easily and efficiently?
Yeah. So most people have their customer data in different places. Like you're communicating with people in your mailbox, you know, you have emails there, you have contacts there, their names and email addresses, but they also have email signatures with phone numbers and addresses, social profiles and whatnot. You might have some email tracking running on email opens and clicks, maybe some website tracking as well. You have some meetings in your calendar. You have calls in your phone. You have some data from databases. What Salesforce does is actually plug into all these places and it starts organizing all the information for you and offers it to you in such a way that you can just basically, you get suggestions and then you accept or reject them and you curate the information rather than having to input everything manually. Mm-hmm. And that then immediately brings people a lot of information on who are their customers, what did they communicate with them and all that. And on top of that information, you can actually start organizing yourself in a much easier way than you would do for sure in a spreadsheet, because a spreadsheet is it doesn't have any integration to communication and everything. Right. It's like fully manually. And some of the things we do there to help as well is the system creates sort of automated reminders. When you haven't been in touch with a customer for a certain amount of days and you said you wanted to be in touch at least on that frequency, you can use things like email templates, you can send automated emails, and that all comes together in one place. That's and great. It integrates into your mailbox and all that.
Ah, that's fantastic. Yeah, that sounds like it definitely is much more efficient than a lot of the CRMs that I know I've personally tried, which is can be daunting when you're trying to manage and keep track of all the prospective clients and opportunities. I mean, you know, being in business really comes down to how well you can cultivate those relationships and be there at the right time, because those windows of opportunity do shift. They're not always right now. And so being able to manage that timeline of when the opportunity is more suited for that prospective client is really critical. It's so important to being able to build a business to a point where it's really creating that impact that is within the vision. So, well, how can listeners learn more about SalesFlare if they're interested in trying this out for themselves?
If you want to learn more about the software or you want to try it out, you can go to salesflare.com. So, and it's sales and then flare with FLARE. Button at the top right says try it for free. If you click that, it's asked to connect to your mailbox. If you do that, Salesforce starts working for you and you get somewhere between 7 and 30 days to try the software, because we give you extra days on the trial as you set it up better, because we've seen that people who set the software up better are more likely to get all the value and to also stay longer with us. Mm-hmm. And if you want to get in touch with me, you can connect with me on LinkedIn. Mm-hmm. Just mention the podcast, please, in a personal message. Because if you don't send any personal message, I will have no idea where you're coming from, and you'll end up in the sea of spam I get every day.
Okay, understandable. So that is salesflare.com, easy enough. Mm-hmm. And look for that button to sign up for a free trial version to be able to get in there and just check out all the bells and whistles. It sounds like it's really got a lot of great features. And then you are on LinkedIn, and I'll spell your name, Jeroen. That's J-R-O-E-N. And Korthout, C-O-R-T-H-O-U-T. That's LinkedIn.
And there's only one person with my name, so it shouldn't be too difficult.
Yeah, great. All right. Well, Jeroen, you've already shared just a lot of insight here as to this personal experience you had with this frustrating platform trying to manage your leads, and, you know, back in your marketing consultancy of your profession, and, you know, how you've aligned with a need and you teamed up with your partner, Levin, and created this great platform. But if you could share with our listeners a little insight as to, or inspiration as to maybe what they could do if they're feeling some frustrations, or maybe even doubting their abilities to succeed in building their own business. Can I tap on you just a little bit in terms of sharing some insight to fellow entrepreneurs based on your own experience in building your business?
I think there's two things I learned. One, being in touch with customers, really seeing that what it is we're doing every day has an impact. Mm-hmm. And immediately related to that, entering every conversation you have in a fresh way, trying to really connect with the person, trying to really have a new conversation, treat people like friends, mm-hmm. rather than numbers. It's something that, especially during this pandemic, when you might jump on the one Zoom call after the other, if you treat them all in a sort of routine way, at some point you'll have Zoom burnout. Mm-hmm. But if you try to enjoy every single conversation, try to really see the person who's in front of you, it will help you a lot with your motivation and also with your sales.
Yes, definitely. Yeah, I love that. You know, just reconnecting and with the fact that you are making an impact. And sometimes that's difficult to keep first and foremost when you're struggling with all the nitty gritty and the things that are involved in building a business. So yeah, that's great advice. Thank you. Appreciate you sharing that with us. And Jeroen, it's just been so great hearing about your journey from your early phase of your career as an engineer to this impactful work you're now doing, and this great CRM that you and your partner, Levin, have created to help other salespeople and entrepreneurs really cultivate relationships with their prospects and their clients. I've really enjoyed our conversation. I want to thank you so much for being a guest on today's show.
My pleasure. This was fun.
Yeah. And again, for our listeners, you can reach Jeroen Korthout through his SalesFlare website, salesflare.com. Learn more about the CRM and sign up for a trial version. And reach out to him through LinkedIn as well. Find him through his name, Jeroen Korthout. That's J-E-R-O-E-N-C-O-R-T-H-O-U-T. All right. Well, for all our listeners, remember, when it comes to building a business that brings you joy and has an endless flow of high-paying clients, well, don't overlook the power of the optimized sales conversation, where you've triggered all four psychological states needed for your prospective clients to feel confident and excited about saying, yeah, that sounds great. What's next? Of course, in addition to having a way to manage all those prospective clients and keep those conversations going. So, well, if you're interested in learning more about optimizing your sales conversation, reach out to me and apply for a sales blind spot coaching session. You may be surprised about what we discover. All right. Well, this is Wendy Vaughn, Chief Paradigm Shifter and Sales Success Coach. And you can find me in our next podcast episode at predictablesalesresults.com. All right. Well, thank you for tuning in to today's episode with Jeroen Korthout. And as always, here's to your success.